Commission meeting, and let's say the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, thank you once again. Okay, now we'll be treated to our ethics thought.
And this month as a special treat, Jerry is going to be giving us our ethics thought.
Really? So, do unto others as you will have them do unto you.
Great idea.
Did you make that up?
Oh, no. Thank you.
You have to credit Jesus.
Jesus. I thought Jesus was all about redefining when life begins and establishing federal control over reproductive rights of women and harassing homosexuals when America.
Sorry. No. You have to go back to
I
the original.
Ah. That's good.
All right. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
There are no minutes to approve. We had an issue with the audio, so we'll table that for this meeting and come back to it at the next meeting. So let's get a report from the FECO office.
I'm sorry, do we need to open that door?
It would probably be a good idea to.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
This reporter doing a recording,
right.
So. Yeah.
Well, I didn't want maybe.
We'll crack it open.
I went out there and nobody was there. Oh, okay.
Good God.
Let's see.
Maybe open it.
Where's Conrad? Is he okay?
Yeah, Conrad. Where's Conrad?
I think I'm a Facebook friend.
It's eerily quiet. Get a dark early, everyone leaves early.
He's been on the first bus connect a couple times later.
I know, it just feels quiet.
And a little darker.
That's true, too. But you're right, yeah.
That's good stuff to say.
All right, let's turn to Carla for an update from the Echo Walks.
Kirby and I have been very busy, and we're preparing in the next 2 weeks for two things. Kirby and I are at a panel at Harvard on an international ethics symposium on citizen involvement in ethics programs. So we're working really hard, and we'll be representing Jacksonville at this conference. And then I'm following it. I'm going to Panama for the Transparency International Conference and working on a panel with the United Nations. And we have four mayors from around the world, from different sectors around the globe, talking about transparency at local governments. And so I'm real excited about that. It's a huge conference, 4,000 people usually, anti-corruption experts from all over the world. So it's really invigorating. I mean, they have people speak at that conference that have risked their lives fighting corruption in different African countries, Asian countries, just really inspirational. So I'll come back with good stories for our Christmas party from Transparency International. And Kirby and I will be spending a couple days in Boston absorbing the very best thinking on citizen involvement with ethics. People coming from all over the world for that conference. So pumped, ready to go for the new year.
Yeah, that's great. Kirby, you have anything to add?
I think so.
I've got a report from the General Counsel's office.
Well, very briefly, it probably should be deferred to the next item on legislative, the public comment. I just wanted to mention that our office is actually working on an opinion on public comment. So I don't know if it's been finalized yet, but I just want to make sure that the commission is aware of that.
Let me ask you a question about the process, because I've never asked about general counsel opinions. Do you only provide those when there's a request, or do you do those on your own, just to clarify?
It depends. Sometimes if there's a request, and then the actual general counsel, Jason, would be binding on whoever the person that is or agency that's requesting it, or the department or division.
Okay.
And then secondly, if I guess an issue comes up, if we receive some type of correspondence and if the general counsel so feels, yes, that would be another occasion of when to issue an official opinion.
Okay.
So, yeah. Thank you.
I forgot something. Can I go back?
Yeah.
We've been interviewing, you know, City Council approved a new position, staff position for our office, which is very exciting, an administrative assistant. And so the Inspector General also got approved for a position. They advertised, we had about 80 people apply for it, and whittled it down to about 30 that went through extensive testing on all kinds of office skills. We had them write essays and letters and different things like that. It's
Myers-Briggs.
Now down.
Myers-Briggs?
I wish. You know, that would be very good. I have several tests like that that would be good. And I've now, with Kirby, narrowed it down to 5 people that we're going to interview in the next week. And so hopefully by December, perhaps for the Christmas party, we'll have our new person. We have some very promising finalists for the position.
Is it a split position or full for you and full for the
office? It's split. It's 25 hours for each of us, so it's 50 hours, a little bit more than a full-time position. We had talked one time about being in the same space and splitting a position, but this worked out better.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's then move to committee reports. I think we heard most of it from complaints.
Nothing new to add other than what was already done in the shade meeting. I guess for purposes of the record here, I'll say that we had complaints 2016-3 and 2016-4 and also 2016-5. We handled all of those complaints, both in committee and in the shade. And all 3 of those complaints were dismissed. Also, there was a complaint that came in anonymous in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. Nothing further from the
Well, hey, thanks for those that are on the complaints committee for me and evaluating those. Mm-hmm. So thanks for your time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
John had a question on that. I think we were going to, we're in the same room, so
oh, that's right.
Meeting if you wanted to clarify on his question.
On anonymous complaints, mm-hmm. if you receive one on the hotline, how much work can you two do before you have to ask or go before the complaints committee, or if there's a meeting coming up before the full committee?
You know, we haven't had really a lot in that category, so it's not like we have a process here. But I would say that if it's something that doesn't fit in the parameters at all of anything in the ethics code, we're not going to bring it to you. You would never see that type of thing. We just marked down that it came in and it doesn't relate at all to the Ethics Commission. If it came in and it alleged something like secondary employment or someone received an illegal gift, like a secondary employment issue, we can check with HR, and the person would never know. We can just say, hey, did this person ever file a secondary employment? Get a little bit of something there. You know, so we might do a little bit of something just to give you a little bit more to go on. But we would never go and interview the person or talk to their supervisor or do anything substantive. We'd just like document it maybe with a public record or going behind the scenes with HR, and they wouldn't even know that there was a complaint. So it would be just sort of a little bit of a something so that we could bring it to you with a little bit more substance.
And from a corporate side, we do something very similar. We, in order to investigate, in order to initiate an investigation, we have a general counsel make that determination before we even do anything like look at emails. For example, so anything exploratory, anything involving any people, anything that might you know, have some direct impact on anybody, either you know, interview or working in anything that we can't do without bothering anybody. We keep all that underneath the investigation. We only do that after an initiation is investigated. So it's a very similar process.
Right.
The other side of that, through this kind of historical process is that if there's something that clearly is not in our jurisdiction, it's in the Florida Ethics Commission's jurisdiction mm-hmm. or the state attorney,
Inspector
gives
General.
Them the ability to send that over right away, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't, you know, have to worry about, you know, waiting 30 days to meet, right. you know, getting into a statute of limitations gap or, you know, something to that effect. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we would, at the Sheriff's Office, we would do all that legwork prior to, I mean, just the minimal, so that when you brought it to the sheriff or the undersheriff, he would have enough information to make a decision. Mm-hmm. Where sometimes it seems, like in this case, there's not a whole lot of information that, that has been gathered on that, you know, just the mere facts. So, you know, when you only have bare information, you two should have the ability to gather enough information. So whether it be the committee or the whole entire committee can make an informed decision. If not, then, I mean, what we're doing is granting you the opportunity to go do that, which I think that you should have that. That might be something we could look at later on when we're redoing the rules, that you can just gather enough information that we can make an informed decision and not waste your time's valuable enough that you sit and wait until you can get permission. So.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, if we have a month just to make sure that I'd rather lean when we don't have that many cases and we're starting, we don't have a long history of it, to lean towards getting the approval and then going out and doing the investigation. And then if it looks like we have a couple under our belt and the procedure needs to be shortened, then we come back and shorten it. We don't mind. I mean, if there was ever an emergency, we would call the group together as an emergency and say, hey, we need to move on this really fast and we need your permission now. Yeah, but I think eventually we could look at that rule and see if it's workable. Every time we get, I'll tell you what happens, every time we get a case, you look at the complaint procedures and it doesn't quite fit what just happened. And so you go back and you revise the rule. And then the next one comes in and it's not quite what our rules cover. So we're still on a learning curve.
All right, let's move to our next committee, internal operations.
Yes, we met just before this meeting and we made a second pass at the strategic plan goals and objectives in for each committee. We got about halfway through that, and I think where we ended up is a fair amount of the decision making really needs to go to the individual committees. So we'll have a task suggested for the full commission to adopt, to have the committees look at their individual role and also the established list of potential goals to evaluate what should be, if the objective of the committee is appropriate, as is stated, and if the goals are appropriate, and if so, what the timing is. And so that will be a January, February, with the idea that the March will be when each committee brings those committee goals and individual plans for the year back to the full commission.
All right, now legislative committee.
We've also had the benefit of having a meeting in between our last full commission meeting and today, and we're excited. We've got some big projects, and the ball is rolling, as it were. Both of our main areas of inquiry are listed in our outline here. We've started to examine questions concerning public comment at the city council meetings and whether or not the council can legally require a declaration of name and address prior to making the comment. There's been some concern raised that this has a chilling effect on the ability of folks to give their opinions during public comment. And we've explored some of perhaps the councilman's reasons for, in spite of the objection, requiring that information. We're going to compare other jurisdictions and how they handle this issue. We already have looked at what the Florida legislative requirements for public comment are, and there is some deviation in terms of a more restrictive nature being imposed by our city council. And we're also going to look at some of the notes for that bill by the city council so we can see if we can glean from information what the motivation was and why there's this divergence between, hey, why are you doing this, and yes, we really want to, even though the statute is broader and doesn't permit this kind of specificity. So that's one issue we're tackling, and we hope to have a position soon that we can bring before the entire body and maybe see if we can address it. So that's in the works, and that's the baby project. Okay, so the big project is we're in early stages of discussing revisions to Part 4 of the City Ethics Code, which is the conflict section of the City Ethics Code. Carla has, as you might expect, done a great job already in the division of the areas of issues, and she has highlighted, and I don't know that we've, yes, so you should have it too. She's highlighted the most important sections that she, in her experience and evaluation, need the most work in bold. She's getting a kind of a division of work amongst general counsel, amongst her, amongst Kirby, to evaluate these. I think she's going to also offer us kind of an update, maybe, I don't know if you're ready yet, but in terms of what's still needed and whether or not some of our own committee members are also going to plunge into that evaluation. But we've got a good start. There's a model code that's been proffered by an ethics group that Carla is a part of. Also, there is a code in Texas, one of the municipalities, that Carla finds to be very good and modern and streamlined. And the goal here is really to kind of cut through a lot of the verbiage and really streamline the code so that when Carla and her office are going to train our city officials, they'll have an opportunity to actually absorb the information and put it to use instead of getting kind of convoluted by the way that the code is currently drafted. And one of the issues is when this code was drafted initially, we didn't have the benefit of the decades of experience that Carla has since had, including the time in Boston and Panama and other locales. And really, city ethics has come a long way in that time period, so we're trying to modernize our code to be more at the front edge. We think conflicts is a good place to start. So I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think for now, we're probably going to just meet another subcommittee and discuss kind of that division and where we are, and mm-hmm. then we'd be perhaps in a better position to update you further, but that's where we're going.
Yeah, Kirby and I are going to chew on it quite a bit and do a lot of the background work. It doesn't lend itself well to meeting once a month and doing a little bit at a time, because then it takes years. That's what the Ethics Commission did 20 years ago, and it's just by the time you get to the end of it, you've forgotten what you did in the beginning and you have to start over again. Anyhow, so that's why we're going to try to chew on it in the next 2 months, and Cherry has agreed to help other people in General Counsel's office, and we're going to take these things and get them. My idea here is that we have a two-page ethics code in plain English where someone with a sixth grade education can read it and understand what they can and cannot do, and it's in black and white, and we don't have the complexity that we have in our code, and that's what we're trying to distill it down to. And as far as the baby issue on public comment, I think probably what Kirby and I will do is wait for the general counsel's opinion and then bounce off of that, because we want to see what that opinion will be, because we're going to definitely be bound by that. So that might cut some of our issues down a little bit.
Certainly we want the benefit of it. Mm. So absolutely, we'll look forward to reading that.
So I've got a question on the Part 4 outline here. So can you just give me a few headline notes on what is under contemplation with future employment?
For what?
Future employment.
Well, we actually have future employment 602.404. Do you have the code with you?
Yeah. There's two sections.
That's when you're in a current city. You're a city employee and you're contemplating future employment and you're soliciting for future employment and you're making deals with people that you're interacting with.
Right.
Yeah.
So 404 has to do with soliciting future employment or compensation.
Mm-hmm. And that's already pretty simple. I mean, you don't want to be wheeling and dealing and with current people that we're doing business with. I think everybody, that's a pretty cut and dry one. That's why it's not underlined, because it's so simple and cut and dry.
So this has bumped around a little bit over the years, and mm-hmm. us looking at this, and I'm glad that you're grabbing the reins and heading forward on this. One of the things I've mentioned several times as this has bumped around in our public discussions on future employment is for most people, whether you're in public employment or private, you're developing a skill set, right? And your next job is going to be in the range of that skill set. So the one of the concerns here is that as a public employee, if you're continuing to do your job, you're continuing to deal with issues in your skill set, which is likely going to be the source of your future employers, right? So it's hard to extract yourself and still do your job and still find a new job. So one of the things that I've mentioned in the past that I would really appreciate you considering is a recusal process. So that an employee, you know, real honest, healthy recusal process where an employee who has an idea of an employer that he or she wants to pursue can actually recuse themselves, you know, and have the ability to still do that, but obviously not do the work on that. You know, this is in, you know, state government and federal government, it's a normal practice, and there's not really, I don't recall significant guidance around that, but, you know, it's done in a, you know, public way, drafting a recusal letter, sending it to your boss, you know, that kind of thing. So I think that'd be really healthy to consider.
That's a great idea.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
It's even in our strategic plan. Yeah, it's still. Recusal. Joe Jaco recusal. Well, you said that a few years ago.
Don't name it after me.
The Joe Jaco recusal amendment. Yeah. It's
okay.
In there.
Hey, thanks, Brian. Let's move. Anything from open government?
We did not need. Nothing to report.
Right. And I know there's nothing going on at nominating, right? All right. But probably nothing to report.
There actually is the fun date from nominating.
Oh, is there? Okay. I was kidding about nothing going on. And
no,
there's a
I
lot
know.
Going on. But I just wasn't sure if there was a report.
I was wondering what you meant. I didn't get sarcasm. I took it later.
I saw you
put
your pay, so I was concerned it was going to get skipped. But I knew you were being joking.
Yeah, so I'll back up. Any report from Ryan?
That's to him.
Yes.
Oh, it is.
You are the chair.
Yeah, well, we're meeting on Wednesday to go over the applicants that I just got today. Am I missing something else?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
No, just if I can, to expound upon that. There were 6 people that applied for the applications. The list, if you'd like them. They will be interviewed on Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. in conference room 2C, in the order that they're alphabetically, essentially. And then from that process, the nominating committee will determine which applicant or applicants should be forwarded to the entire commission to be interviewed by the entire commission and selected upon for a vote for the one position. So that's essentially the process in a nutshell and where we are.
Great. All right, so thanks for those reports. So let's move on to unfinished business, and Ioana is doing great work at the Inspector General Search Committee. So you want to get some update there?
Sure. Good evening. So basically, in light of, as you know, the 2 candidates in the position was originally offered to decline, so we are reconvening. We meet again on Wednesday, afternoon, morning, 1 o'clock. Yes, 1 o'clock. And basically what the body decided is that the position is going to be re-advertised again. And what we did at the last meeting is we kind of set a tentative timeline in terms of when interviews are going to take place and all that good stuff, so that any persons who are outside of the city who have to travel, we could inform them on the front end, please be prepared to travel at this time in the event that you are selected. Which we thought would be good since we had the one gentleman the last time who had the travel issue, so giving people that information up front would be really helpful. And yeah, that's about it.
All right.
I have a question. What happened to the, I believe it was a female applicant who you were in favor of offering the position to?
Ironically,
I remember that. I know that's vague on details, but.
Oh, no, you're fine. So, ironically, shortly after our meeting, I attended a community event and had some concerns based upon some of the things that were shared with me literally as I was exiting this meeting about that particular candidate. And
the body decided that we needed to reopen altogether and not go solely with the third choice.
Understood. Thank you.
All right, let's move on to some new business. Selection of chair and vice chair.
We have two people who've expressed an interest, Ioana Allen for chair and Brian for vice chair. And that is all I have to report.
I think they're obligated to give platform speeches.
Yeah, I think so. Or in lieu of that, buy us all drinks at the Christmas party.
Yeah.
That'd
be a good choice.
Or at least arrange the Christmas party. Right?
Just don't, yeah. Order, oh, yeah. Don't order anything over.
I think it's more that we should thank them for having volunteered to do
it. We should give them a drink. We should give them a drink. Everyone treat them to a drink at the Christmas party.
Second.
All right. Anyone have a nomination? We'll combine these for Ms. Allen for chair and Brian for vice chair.
So move. Second.
Third.
All right. Keep it going around. All right. Any discussion? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, well, congratulations to our new chair-elect and vice-chair-elect.
Yay!
Excellent. Whew, Tom. Yeah. Okay. Annual approval of the ethics director's compensation per contract. Kirby, is this something that you want to discuss?
I can just,
okay,
yeah.
Great.
Everybody has my contract that started December 2014 that runs through next December. And it says in that contract that the rate of pay will be reviewed on an annual basis by the commission. So that means that you guys every year, even though it's a three-year contract, every year the rate of pay is reviewed on an annual basis. And it basically, the 85 per hour rate up to 75,000 per year has been the same for 10 years. So I would say the only problem with this that I see is I tend to work more hours. If you take that 75 and divide by 85, I work more hours than that. So I usually run out of hours by about July or August. I tend to work for free after that time period. I don't mind, but if maybe at some point the city council would recommend like another 10,000 or something, you know, to actually, the hours don't seem to be enough for what the Ethics Commission does. So maybe I'll, you know, if I can get more in the budget, then I'd have some more to work off of.
I think that was a hint to you. All right, so I don't think there's anything we have to do to vote on that. It's just a review. Any discussion?
We've usually had a motion and approved of it, yeah.
Okay, just correct.
Doesn't.
Okay, all right.
It would be subject to, because the contract does also state and payable upon budgetary approval, so would the motion be subject to city council approval?
They did that. They approved the budget of
$75,000. Oh, okay.
City Council did that. That's why we always have.
It's kind of reverse.
So it's happened. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why we always have this in October or November, just to say, oh gosh, you know, well, the City Council approved the same amount. Now, let's say the City Council next year approved an additional amount, then you could say, okay, they approved an additional amount, or we're lowering the hourly rate or raising it. You always have the ability to do that within the parameters of what City Council allocates to the position. And they've allocated the same amount they've always allocated, which is 75. Yeah.
Without a mask, they're gonna continue as is.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're okay with that, or seemingly so, for a successor, it makes it very difficult to attract a successor at a rate of pay that's not commensurate with, you know, peers. Is your rate of pay commensurate with peers?
I haven't analyzed that.
Doesn't sound like it can be.
I suspect it's not. And again, without an ask of the city council, they focus on problems and issues. So if no one's making a stink about it, then it never comes up. And as it stays the same for 10 years, the gap gets bigger and bigger. And while you may be okay with that, that means it's a significant jump and a much bigger ask as we get closer to a successor. I just raise that as individually, may be okay. As an organization, it's underpricing what the role really is, and makes it tough to find a good successor, but for getting a significant improvement in the funding.
Yeah, no, I have my eye on that. And I think that there were so many years where, just to keep the office alive and to keep the independence issue moving and to keep it going when really the office was being threatened with extinction. You can never go in and ask for additional amounts on the contract when the whole issue of whether or not ethics was needed was at the forefront. And so we had to fight so hard. Kirby remembers those years just to keep the office here and afloat, and then to have additional funding every single year. We have additional funding with Kirby. We have additional funding for her position.
You need help. Not just your own pay, but you need others to help you.
Right. Now another
additional
position.
Funding has been for those positions.
Exactly.
Not your compensation.
Exactly. So we keep getting the extra positions in there. And then, then I have to figure out when I get old and retire, what do we do to transition? And my position is part-time for $75,000 a year. We based that upon the inspector general at the time in 2007 was $150,000. Our new inspector general coming in, the range is about $150,000 to $160,000. So if you took their position, cut it in half, you've got theoretically a part-time position, although no benefits or pension or anything like that, which brings those salaries, the full-time salaries, up higher. I have my eye on what the plan is, but really getting the positions locked in, so we have a team, has been more important than worrying about my particular, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, Tom, just for the sake of putting this on the agenda, would it be worth a resolution or something like that to council just to let them know that this position is underfunded? It's basically functioning on volunteer labor from the current ECHO director, and just want to, again, put that in the ear of people so that whenever it is, 20, 30, 40 years from now, when you decide to hang up your ethical spurs, they'll know
ethical
that...
spurs.
Whatever, yeah. I'm on a roll here. So would it be worth, Chair?
My suggestion would be, this would be something to be considered in the budget process so that, we look at it as part of that process. I don't think there's any reason to delay looking at it, but I think that's the context in which you want to do it.
I don't disagree, but we don't have a great checkpoint in there. In fact, I think we just removed one from the list today, talking about funding for the office overall, because quite frankly, the funding for the office is not at risk, so the need for the committee, full commission, to really focus on that is much less than it used to be back in those days when you're fighting for a director at all. So we don't necessarily have that checkpoint in our list of things to look at.
Correct.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
so
let's add it.
You're kind of suggesting, Joe, that every year we keep asking for more money to get it to where it's up to a competitive full-time equivalent position?
Oh, no. So what I'm suggesting is I think that there's probably different approaches, different strategies in how we do resolutions and how we pursue budgetary requests. And so I think we want to keep this in the budgetary request box for the distinct strategies that we want to pursue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so you're supporting the idea, just saying the time is time, which is when it would be more relevant, much more relevant.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's what you want to do it then when you have a game plan of how you're going to do it.
I will task that on the strategic plan items. How about that?
Yeah. Good planning.
Yeah.
And does the budget get reviewed by the chair before submission?
No. Well, we prepare the budget in the ethics office, then it goes to the mayor's office, and then it goes to city council. It starts like March or April. And so basically they tell you to submit the budget with no increases at all. And so when I thought, okay, how much can I nibble? And I wanted to get Kirby at a good point. And so that was the main thing. And to get a part-time person, it's like, really, are you kidding? No one's getting anything new. And it was actually rejected in our initial budget presentation. And way at the end, when they saw how much money they had left over, I came back and said, yeah, remember Kirby and our new position? And then they threw the money in at the end. So it's very, you wouldn't ask for a whole lot at any one time. So it's how much can you nibble every year? And we'll start that nibbling process in March.
Will you advise us, though, is that something you would bring, or will you, I know you don't have to, but is that something you would let us, so that we can have a part in that?
I can. I mean, really, it's been pretty static for a long period of time until Kirby came on and we wanted to push for Kirby. But yeah, we can nibble like a little bit more, and I think that would probably be a good year to do it. Don't want to nibble in too many different areas in one year. And then I will say my contract is up next December. I feel pretty frisky and, you know, interested, and I want to contribute as long as I possibly can. I don't know, but I would certainly give the commission at least 6 months advance notice if I decide not to renew a contract.
Thank you.
Okay, so if there's no other discussion, let's at least have the motion. Thank you. The motion that confirms we have reviewed and approved Carla's contract.
Second. I'll send you.
Okay. All right. Excellent.
Second.
All right. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. All right.
Another year.
Okay. Letter from the True Commission.
Kirby, did you get a copy of that?
I could not locate it.
All right. I don't have it in front of me, but we got a letter from the True Commission, and they had reviewed the City Council Auditor's report that led to the complaints that you just discussed in the Shade meeting. And they sent us a letter saying, would the Ethics Commission look into it to see if there's any potential conflicts of interest? In other words, you know, this isn't our area, you should do it. And so I was waiting for you to discuss it in the Shade meeting. It's now public. And what I would do in response to that letter is to say, the Ethics Commission received your letter, and in light of their decision to dismiss these cases, I'm sending you this paperwork so you can review it. It's essentially the same thing for them, which is a statute of limitations issue. So I'll just send them a nice letter explaining all of that on behalf of the Ethics Commission, and if you want me to go ahead and do that, and I can send it to you, Joe, if you want to like look at it, and if you want it to come from you, I can draft it up and get it to you.
Yeah, you can do it. That's okay.
I'll go ahead and do that and respond to the True Commission. But they did want us to take a look at it.
Sounds good. You'll send your opinion as well.
Yep. I'll send all the paperwork and I'll say this is public record. Take a look, and this is.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Good. All right. Holiday Department. The first thing I have to ask is I'm in, but I can't remember the date.
December 12th.
December 12th. All right, let me make sure that's on.
Monday.
Thank you.
Right.
Oh, it is on my calendar.
And we don't have a meeting in front of it, do we? That's hard to have a meeting and then go on to a party. I protest that procedure, yes. Just straight party.
Okay, so you want anything, details on that?
No, I've been working with Kirby to get everything coordinated. Do we have any updates since our last conversation?
We've been trying to get, I asked for RSVPs so that we can determine which venue we can order from, and I've gotten most everyone's. It looks like I'm still waiting on three people to RSVP to me. But based on the numbers that have come in so far, unfortunately not everyone's able to join us, so it looks like we'll probably be able to order off of the regular menu and not be limited to the private dining menu, so that's good. So that will be, I'll be sending that out because your choices have to be sent to me and provided to Orsay by next Wednesday, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So it's going to be
far ahead of time.
That's why I was pushing for the RSVPs. So it's going to be a very quick turnaround time. So I appreciate those that are able to make it to get those into me. And Joanna was going to, I had a question about how gratuity was going to be spent because there's a requirement that the total bill be a certain amount for gratuity to be set at a certain level. So anyway, I asked Joanna to look into it, so she's going to try and explain it.
So basically what happens is whenever you have the private dining space, of course you have servers that are just your servers. And so there's like a standard gratuity that they receive, which is pretty much $150 each. So the way that that happens in terms of our gratuity is that our gratuity rate will range anywhere from 20 to 25% for our whatever it is that we select, basically. That's it.
And it's a nice, it's a good rate. I mean, it's a great
service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love the fact that they always take really good care of us and whatnot. So the only other, like in the event that we, let's say half of the people just weren't going to come, like, you know, we weren't going to be able to do that, then we would always have an option to do semi-private dining, which meant that would mean that we could, you know, have a really large space in that room, but there would be other people in there. But I think our conversations get interesting, and I just like the fact that we can be by ourselves and not have to be concerned about.
Now, let me ask you, I can't recall in past years, have we invited past commission members or past chairs, or have we done some of that?
We have not done that.
Okay.
It's a nice thing to do, you know.
I mean, I'm not saying you
have to. I miss them all.
You know, 20 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think that's something you can do at your discretion, but I think it'd be great if you feel like there's some that are still connected with us, in your opinion.
We'll extend out a few invitations, but usually it's nice to have just the current active group, and once you start pulling people, it gets a little, we'll extend a couple, to our favorites.
Right. I'm excited. I'm going to be there. Got a little special treat for you all this year.
Oh, no.
Survived the ride home?
It did. I have an extra special one this year. They're even going to do it in the color that I want because I asked them to. So you're going to love it. Any rum fans in the room? Any rum fans? Yeah, you're going to love it. It's going to be great.
Sorry, I'm going to miss it.
Yeah.
Okay, so doesn't look like we're going to have public comments, but it's open.
There is no public.
Okay.
No public.
Yeah. All right, so I'm clear on this, we don't have a December meeting planned, but we will have a meeting for considering the candidates to fill positions, or is that not going to be until January? What's the timing on that?
Well, it can be whenever you want it. It can be in December. It's really hard to get us together just for that one thing in December. If we meet like early on in January, we can bring the candidates and whoever is the finalist or who gets the nomination from the Ethics Commission can sit in that meeting. That can be the first thing on the agenda. They sit in the meeting and off we go.
So the reason I'm asking on that is so traditionally for the people that are rolling off the commission, which would be at least three of us, do you want us there? Do we need to be there to make a quorum? How do you want that to work?
Yeah, that's interesting.
You don't have to tell us now, but think about
that. Yeah.
I feel like I recall in the code we can continue until replaced. So I think you have the option,
That would mean one more meeting for you guys to come. But you'll miss us terribly, and you'll want to come.
I'm offering us up for the sacrifice if you keep it warm.
Okay, well let's think about it because I don't want to drag everybody here for a December meeting. Everybody's busy enough in December.
Well, I don't think the timing matters, December or January.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Right, because
one more meeting.
Why we would continue till replaced is the status of the code. So it's just really, it's a quorum issue for you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But what if, I don't know when public chief judge make this appointment, maybe it would overlap to where this appointment can sit in January.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Right, so that may solve the problem. Yes.
We would only have one vacancy really, because the chief judge on public defender, we've already spoken with them. They are choosing people. They'll be ready to go January 1st.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was thinking.
You know, so it's not a quorum problem.
Then you won't have an issue. Okay.
Okay. We will have 8 members. We won't have the one ethics commission member.
Yeah. Okay. We're set then.
We are. But this could be your last meeting then.
It is.
And how many years have you been on the commission?
You know, I was trying to remember that. But
it's several years. Might even be 5. I think you have done an outstanding job, and you're one of my favorite all-time chairs, and you have pushed transparency for the Ethics Commission and been to or have stepped up to the plate on many, many different issues, and I will be very sad to see you go, and I'd like to give you a... No, it isn't. I think we need...
I'll come in and provide some public comment.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that'll be good. We need portraits of outgoing members.
You're
going to
get Tom Richard and I in the front row.
All right. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, well, with that, we will adjourn.
Great, thank you.
All right, so Anthony, you're out. You're definitely out.
Yeah.
Okay. Heck with a row.
We'll make it
and you're in.
Stop. Let's see.
I am in.
You're in.